Good morning, Maeve. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, tell us all about tonight's show. Who is on the lineup?
Yeah, so we've got a lovely lineup tonight. I do Queer Stories at Riverside every February. It was one of the last shows we were able to do before all the lockdowns last year.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Very glad to be able to come back and do it again this year. So Queer Stories is always, six storytellers, each telling a kind of 10 to 15-minute story from their lives. So it runs a bit like a stand-up night, but it's not strictly comedy. And the performers are people from the community, so sometimes they'll be writers, but often not. So for the Western Sydney gig tonight, we've got David Mutu, who's done a lot of LGBTQI+ organising but currently works at Parramatta City Council. He's written a beautiful story about growing up around Panania and Bankstown and becoming really focused on his Gregory's Map, which sounds odd, but it's this beautiful story about kind of place and direction. Sorry, my dog's having a cry. Shush, oh. This is the joys of working from home. We've got Madura Prakash, who's a young activist and performer who also does drag as a drag king.
Beautiful.
We've got Jane Marsden, who's actually my aunt, which is a bit cheeky, but I've been running Queer Stories for 5 years, so I think I can get away with programming some of my queer family members.
Totally.
And she's got a long history of LGBT activism and community work as well, and has written a beautiful piece. Who else have we got? Naomi Mura, who's a wonderful comedian who's gigging around a lot at the moment. Mark Mariano, who's a young writer who works on the SBS editorial team and is also involved with Sweatshop Writers Collective, which is a Western Sydney writers collective. He's written a beautiful piece. And Miranda Aguilar, who's a playwright and theatre maker who's got a play coming up at Riverside, actually, next month. So a really lovely combination of kind of creatives and activists and local members of the community, each telling a story. And it's a lovely lineup, a real mix of humour and sort of reflection and all the things I like in a Queer Stories event. So it should be lovely.
Sounds wonderful. Sounds like a really fun night. And
Yeah,
so in your book, Queer Stories, you write that there's more to being queer than coming out and getting married.
Yeah.
Why do you host events exclusively for queer storytelling?
I mean, the queer community is my home. I grew up in a queer family and I'm now queer myself, and that's kind of the community that I socialise with and the kind of politics that I'm interested in as well. And when I started running Queer Stories 5 years ago, we were still caught up in the marriage equality campaign, and I felt like all the stories that were being told about our community were quite sort of one note and simplistic, and it was all very much about romantic love and love is love and we're normal, please accept us. And I found that quite boring.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And I wanted to hear kind of a more diversity of thought and more different experiences and perspectives of what being part of our community meant. And so that's why I started the event. And since then, that's sort of shifted and we have seen more representation of different queer perspectives. But still often I find in media and entertainment, study, please, come on, that it's often about coming out and it's often people being expected to talk about their gender or their identity for kind of educational purposes. Whenever we're asked to write something for the media, it's because someone's done something homophobic or transphobic. It's not about just sharing perspectives without that kind of deficit model or the fighting against discrimination model. So the event has remained popular, I think, because of that, because it's about going, well, what else do we have to say? What else is part of our experience as a community and as individuals? So I've been doing it for a long time now and people have kept coming back, and I think that's why, because there's so much more to us than often gets published or shown, and this is like my little way of sort of creating an art space and an event space that does that.
It sounds like a very safe and inclusive space.
That's it.
Yeah, and you host the physical events as well as I heard you have an award-winning podcast where you archive your guest stories.
Yeah, so we're up to about 250 stories on that now. Yeah, from all the events around the country. And so, yeah, obviously last year I couldn't travel and host the events, but I have been able to do that prior to that. And last year I, with some City of Sydney funding, commissioned more podcast episodes written in lockdown. So those ones were recorded at home. So that's its own sort of mini series that's on the podcast as well. And yeah, people can hear the stories then, and there are transcripts on the website for anyone who can't make an event in person or isn't ready perhaps to go out again at the moment.
Yeah, I mean,
this is such terrible timing. My dad is having a meltdown.
No, it's fun.
Here we go.
Fun for the Saturday morning. No, it's it's really great that you archive these stories, not only to have like a record of the stories, but also for people that, you know, might not, that might have like social anxiety, that might not be able to attend the
events.
Yeah,
there's so many reasons, or they're in regional areas. I sometimes travel the event, but obviously not monthly, or I would never be at home. we did recently do one in Mullumbimby.
If
Victoria opens up, there's one in Daylesford next month. So we do get some regional events. But yeah, it's a way of people hearing different stories from around the country as well. And there's so many now that even if you don't like one of them, you'll probably like the next one.
Totally. I delved in this week and listened to Brenna Harding's recording,
which is
really, really beautiful, about her wanting a sister. Yeah, it's a really great story. And Maeve, you yourself are a critically acclaimed performer, having co-created productions such as Mother's Ruin, a cabaret about gin.
Yeah.
Do you have any projects in the works?
Yeah, look, I mean, last year a lot of my cabaret touring just kind of stopped. We had a big tour planned for a recent show we wrote called Fat Musicals, which is a cabaret about sort of body image and theatre. And all of that, you know, was cancelled. And so I kind of pivoted and focused on writing for a year, and sort of instead of doing a lot of the online gigs and stuff that other people were doing, I just kind of went quiet. So I wrote a play last year, which I'm waiting to see if it gets programmed. And I'm directing a show later in the year in Sydney. So I'm kind of doing stuff that'll keep me in Sydney for the foreseeable. Cabaret really relies on touring, which is what I've done for the last 10 years, is go overseas and go interstate. But I'm looking at gigs that are sort of longer and allow me to stay put, at least whilst international travel and even interstate travel is so challenging. I know a lot of artists have booked interstate shows in the next couple of months and are already dealing with cancellations. So I'm being quite quiet in terms of my output as an artist and sort of
stay
writing
local.
Stuff so that when theatres can open again, I'm like, here's a play I prepared earlier.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we look forward to seeing these projects in the future. Maeve, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure.